Well, ocean fishing with large nets always catches creatures besides the intended fish. It's called bycatch in the business. But some large nets are known for scooping up and killing marine mammals as well as fish. Drift nets are banned in Washington and Oregon. And now California legislators have passed a law to ban drift net fishing a few years down the road. Turtle Island Restoration Network and allied groups are thrilled with the passage. Cassie Burdishaw is advocacy and policy director of California's Turtle Island Restoration Network, and she joins us this morning. Good morning, Cassie. Good morning, Cassie. Hello? Still waiting for our guest. Cassie, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, Cassie, thanks very much. We just had the wrong button pushed here this morning. So we're talking about drift netting. Tell us about your organization, the Turtle Island Restoration Network.
Absolutely. For over 30 years, Turtle Island Restoration Network has been working to protect ocean wildlife and also the wetlands next to the ocean areas where salmon spend part of their lives. So we're working on various fronts to make sure that, you know, the generations that come after us can still enjoy whales, dolphins, and, of course, sea turtles that bear our name. So basically, we work on a variety of fronts. Some of what we do is hands-on scientific and sort of protecting sea turtle nesting beaches, for example, actually doing watershed restoration, going into areas that had been paved over or filled in and trying to get them back to what nature would benefit from. And also, we do a lot of policy work, and that's where I come in. We try to work with agencies and work with, in this case, the legislature to make sure that better rules are put into place or laws are put into place that really give, you know, give the environment a chance to thrive and recover and make best use of our natural resources.
So how long have you been working on the ban for drift netting in California, and what other organizations have you been working with?
Personally, I've been working on the issue for 3 years, but it has been a really long campaign for our organization and some of the other folks who've been working on the issue. It's been over 20 years, and the fishing actually started in the late 70s. And so basically, we've been working with, like you mentioned, a whole host of groups, and there are sort of too many to name, but I'll name a few. Mercy for Animals, Sea Legacy, Sharkwater, Oceana, Sea Charitable Trust. There's, you know, a long list of allies on this issue who realize that you don't need to kill whales and dolphins and other wildlife in order to get swordfish.
So can you describe for us how exactly a drift net works? I mean, this is one of the oldest methods of commercial fishing, isn't it?
Absolutely. So it's a big, giant net. So if you imagine the Golden Gate Bridge, the net would stretch across all the way, and it would hang down from the bottom of the bridge into the water. So it's a pretty massive tool, not something that, you know, somebody's standing from the edge of the water or from their boat and tossing out by hand or something like that. So it has fairly big openings in it, and those openings determine what sort of thing gets stuck. If the openings are very small, then a lot of animals will just sort of bounce off or be able to avoid getting stuck. But the openings are actually large enough that pretty large animals can get stuck. And there are observers that go out on some of the boats, so we have a fair amount of information about what does get caught. And we've seen sperm whales, leatherback sea turtles, just all sorts of different species of fish, including a lot of different shark species. So a lot of things get caught, and then they're not able to continue moving, and they're not able to continue breathing or whatever process that their body is accustomed to and needs to do. So a lot of animals struggle, get cut by the net, and drown.
So the if I understand it, the drift net itself is designed for a particular species, whatever that particular fishery is going after. But then other similar size and larger size fish and mammals end up just sort of victims of that process.
Yeah, so basically it's not designed to be choosy. It is exactly, they do choose a mesh size. So there is some determination, but because anything can swim into it, it's just not very discriminate method. And so there are newer methods that are, use more data and scientific thinking than simply throwing out something that catches everything.
Drift netting and California's recent passage of a ban on drift netting are our subject this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking with Cassie Burdishaw, who is Advocacy and Policy Director of California's Turtle Island Restoration Network. You can join the conversation by phone at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So another thing that I've read about the nets, Cassie, is that they can stay in the ocean for quite a while. I mean, just last week, the news was full of coverage of that first deployment of the boom that it's hoped might help clean up that Pacific Ocean plastic patch. But how much of the plastic junk that's in the ocean is related to commercial fishing?
We don't have exact numbers as far as what percentage, but ghost gear and ghost nets are a really large problem. The rules aren't that you just leave your net and abandon that out to keep catching animals. What fishermen generally do is set these drift nets out in the evening around sunset, and they haul them back in the morning. But undercover work that was done in order to show the public what drift net fishing looks like also brought out evidence that some of the fishermen had lost the net for several days and then come back and collected it, which isn't the way that the fishing is supposed to be done. So that's one example of it just being out for a few days, but sometimes, through accident or through abandonment, nets are left. And that is some of the most tragic things there because, when you're fishing with the drift nets, you're already killing an immense amount of animals to get a little reward through the swordfish that you're trying to catch. But when you have lost nets and when you have these ghost nets, they're just there almost eternally, unless there are groups that are going out to collect them, which there are some that are working on that, but it's a huge undertaking and it's dangerous. So they're just, killing machines left out in the ocean, which is a real shame for wildlife. So it actually makes up a fair portion of the plastic junk, I think, as you were saying, that gets out into the ocean.
So drift netting has been banned in Washington and Oregon for quite some time now, and California is typically known as a leader and innovator in environmental issues. So why has it taken so long for California to pass this ban?
Yeah, when I first started working on this, I thought that was incredibly surprising that California is usually on the cutting edge, but in this it was woefully behind. And there's also Florida and a lot of other places around the world that have been moving away from drift gill nets. So I think it's a little bit of a complex issue historically of why it continued. But basically, the Pacific Fishery Management Council is the body that oversees the fishery, and they are not particularly responsive to public concern about what was happening to the wildlife. And they didn't particularly have the will to end the fishery like the legislature has done. But what they did do was try to put limits on the fishery, and they did approve a method that was called hard cap, so that if a particular number of sea turtles or certain mammals were caught, then the fishery would be temporarily shut down. So basically that was approved. But then the next step for that to actually be put into place was approval by the National Marine Fisheries Service. And under the Trump administration, they chose to withdraw the proposed rule for those hard caps. So I think that's one change that really moved this idea forward that California needs to take care of this issue.
Cassie Birdieshaw is Advocacy and Policy Director of California's Turtle Island Restoration Network. She joins us this morning to talk about California's recent passage of a ban on drift netting. Cassie, I've got an email question here from a listener, Randy in Rouche, who wants to know, how will this ban affect the Yurok tribe at the mouth of the Klamath River?
So basically, the impact of this bill is to end drift gill net fishing, which is, to the best of my knowledge, does not involve that group. It mostly impacts about 30-some individuals who have been using the permits to go out and catch swordfish. And so those individuals will receive a monetary compensation and will also be able to switch over to different types of gear. So those individuals who are impacted, you know, have an alternative option to go to. But my understanding that the impacted individuals don't include that group.
You can join the conversation this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the newly passed drift net ban in California. The number to call is 800-838-3760. Or you can join us by email. jx@jeffnet.org is the email address. Did you see a lot of, you mentioned that this ban actually affects relatively few current operators, but did you see a lot of pushback from commercial fishing on this drift net ban?
Yes, so there was a division amongst types of fishermen, and sport fishermen and recreational fishermen, they were really in support of the bill, and that was great to see. You know, they are also wanting the ocean to be conserved for future enjoyment. There were a handful of commercial fishermen and commercial fishing organizations that came out in opposition to the bill. But they were actually pretty few in number, and especially when you look at all the groups and individuals and businesses, scuba diving, whale watching, and a lot of folks who came out on the support side of the bill.
And so are you seeing any drift netting coming from foreign fishing fleets that are working off the coast of North America?
So basically, we have the United States has a zone where basically the fishing is supposed to only happen from United States vessels. And certainly there are some issues with that, for example, the Coast Guard has to deal with, and the Coast Guards of other nations where there are boats that don't necessarily follow the rules that are set out. But yes, drift gill net fishing, you know, although there is sort of a world trend to move away from the practice, is still a problem in many countries, and including near our coast, for example, in Mexico.
So is this ban going to be effective immediately? And once it's in place, how is it going to be enforced?
It is not going to be in effect immediately. I mentioned that there will be some monetary compensation for those fishermen who won't be allowed to use their drift gill nets any longer. And the date of enactment and the date that it'll actually happen that they can't use the nets depends on the money being raised. So basically, the nonprofit community has pledged to raise $1 million to help with this effort. And also $1 million of state funds have been earmarked for this that were already budgeted to deal with ocean wildlife entanglement. And so the date depends on when that $1 million by the nonprofit community is submitted. So it'll be a few years after that happens. So the actual date when the fishermen won't be able to use the nets any longer will likely be 4 to 5 years from now.
And then once it is in effect, the enforcement will be from the Coast Guard or other state and California state agencies?
Yeah, so with the enforcement of many rules and laws about fishing, there's sort of an overlapping interest. And so it could be from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, It could be from the Coast Guard, from the National Marine Fisheries Service. So it depends on where enforcement might be needed. But I think, you know, there are going to be good actors who, once the fishing method, you know, is no longer permitted, that generally they're going to stop that practice. And the bill also incentivizes that or tries to push for that by also having the fishermen turn in their actual nets. So we didn't want for those nets to stop being used in California, but then start being used in Mexico or in some other place or illegally here. And so with the compensation that's being offered to fishermen to turn in their nets, there's a strong incentive to no longer have those nets out as a potential threat to animals.
Cassie Birdieshaw is Advocacy and Policy Director of California's Turtle Island Restoration Network, talking with us this morning about the recently passed drift netting ban in California. Cassie, thanks so much for being with us here on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.